Welcome to Easel Talk, the podcast for easelinsight.com, with your hosts, Phil Stark and Gabor Svagrik. This podcast is created for artists by artists. To follow along with today's discussion, remember to download the show notes at easelinsight.com/blog. And now let's get started with today's episode.
Welcome to Easel Talk. My name is Gabor Svagrik.
And I'm Phil Stark.
And today we're going to be discussing health concerns about painting materials.
Right. How healthy are you with all your
materials? We're going to do a health check. Materials. You're going to fill out a questionnaire. No, just kidding. We're going to talk. I think this topic is a good one because we do have students that are more sensitive to chemicals and certain things. And I know I get emails all the time, and not all the time, but you know, throughout the year in my inbox, and I'm sure Phil, you do too, about this topic.
Yeah.
And that's why we decided to kind of tackle this. We don't want to get too technical about this, but we just want to give you the big picture things to look out for.
Yeah, I don't know enough to be that technical, but there are some things, I think, some misnomers about oil painting being very unhealthy and maybe acrylics being safer and all that. Mm-hmm. So we'll kind of go over some of the materials of oil paints.
Yeah.
I think one of the first things, if you just look at oil paint itself, and I get a lot of this material from Gamblin has a good website on health precautions of things about paint. But oil paint itself is basically made up of a drying oil, which is poppy seed oil, linseed oil, walnut oil, safflower oil, and all that is kind of food based. It's they make a food quality oil from all those, so that's not poisonous. The pigments themselves, you know, aside from cobalts and cadmiums, a lot of them are just dirt. So dirt and oil mixed together.
And I think before then it was the tempera, I think, too.
Yeah.
Back in history, and then oil paints kind of came in, and tempera, ectempera, was the more of the thing.
Right. Same pigment.
Yeah.
Just
different suspension of the.
Right.
I mean, when you buy a cream, it's the same principle. When you like creams are, there's a base which is the cream, and then they suspend either a medication or your lotion, some things that are in it. You need something to suspend that thing in. So the pigment, I think. Maybe this is just a simple explanation. The pigment is suspended inside. It could be poppy seed. It could be walnut.
Yeah.
Or whatever kind of oil it's in. So if you look at it that way, it's not a toxic thing. The thing that makes it toxic are... Well, there's two factors, I guess. One is the actual, the cadmium and cobalts are, if you lick it, like physically lick it.
Yeah.
Let's say.
Yeah, you have to ingest it.
Ingest it. And then you do have the thinner that you use, not the drying oil that's, you know, the pigment is suspended in, but it's how you thin the paint is where you... I know
solids.
Some of you are listening to this right now. It's like I'm allergic to oil paints. That's what they say. That's what you guys if you're listening, are saying. What you're saying really is you're allergic to the chemical that's thinning your paint.
Yeah, the solvents.
The solvent. Yeah.
Paint thinner.
That's what you're allergic to.
Yeah. And you know, it used to be we used turpentine, which is very toxic. But it worked really well with paint. It dried quickly, made the paint easier to move. It had almost a kind of an oily feel to it. But it's so toxic, and they've gotten better with the solvents. Gamsol, I think, is the least toxic. They say it's non-toxic. Of course, that doesn't mean you can drink or eat any of this, but it's not going to hurt you any more than maybe some of the chemicals underneath your kitchen sink. So, but most of the paint is just dirt and oil mixed together. Yeah. And I think as long as you don't ingest it, you're fine. So if you can keep from eating your paint.
Yes.
Also with the solvents. They've solved that problem now. And again, Gamblin is very safety conscious with their materials. They make a safflower oil that you use for cleaning your brushes. So you can do away with solvents altogether. Also, walnut oil is very good to clean your brushes with.
Yeah.
And so you can get rid of solvents, I think, totally.
Yeah, and something that does depend, and maybe Phil, you can correct me on this, what that paint is mixed with, what it's suspended in, is going to affect the drying time. Am I correct? Like walnut oil versus, or is it not? I'm thinking here for drying time, or I know you can add mediums, you know, for drying, but does that affect drying time?
If you're using safflower oil to clean your brushes, you want to wipe out most of it after you clean the brush and you go back to mixing paint. So it doesn't. I don't think it affects it that much.
The drying time.
But yeah, it is a slower drying oil. Most paint is mixed with a linseed or a poppy seed. There's a couple of brands that are mixed with walnut oil, and they all, you know, they have a slower drying time.
Yeah.
So generally
the oil is extended. I'm for some reason in my head all of a sudden like, oh, is it? But it's more of what you add to it.
Right.
Is what's going to affect? Obviously, generally we, for the most part, we want to shorten it with oils generally.
Right. Yeah, this is excluding mediums.
Yeah.
We're talking strictly cleaning your brushes while you paint or after you paint.
Yeah.
So if you're using safflower oil or walnut oil to clean your brush while you paint, you make sure you wipe that oil out.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah, just and again, you can just do away with paint thinner.
Yeah.
Altogether.
And then pigments can be broken down into basically three areas of paint making and
Three eras. Again, I got this from the Gamblin website. But the first era of colors, the early era, was the earth colors, which are basically dirt and oil mixed together. And they're not toxic at all. And those are the earth colors like yellow ochre, burnt sienna, raw umber, and raw sienna. And then during the Impressionists era, they came up with heating metals. And when you heat certain metals like cobalts and cadmiums, you get these real brilliant colors. And that's where we get our cobalt colors, cadmium colors. And, of course, they are toxic. But they don't absorb into the skin. Not that you want to leave them on your hands or arms or anything, but you have to ingest them over a long period of time for them to really hurt you. So I think you're safe, again, as long as you don't eat your paint. You're doing okay. And then the last era was the modern era, where we have lab colors. And those are pigments created in the lab, like phthalos, deoxazines, and quinoctrodones, which I mispronounced. But
when you see hue...
Those brighter colors.
Yeah, when you see hue, when you go to the art store or order online, when you see hue after a color, that's also a human-made color.
Right.
And generally... they are more intense than their counterpart, like cerulean blue. This is a good one. Order cerulean blue hue. If you have cerulean blue at home, order the hue, and I guarantee you, you're going to be blown away how much more intense.
Same thing with viridian.
Viridian, too.
The only exception would be the cadmiums. The cadmium.
Yeah.
Real cadmiums are stronger than the cadmium hues.
But you know, price-wise, it's like night and day.
Yeah.
It's interesting because price-wise, you look at it, it's like, oh, it's a lot less expensive. Probably it's not as good. But in reality, it's good. It's really good. It's very powerful color of that same version of color you might be using. So give the hues a try in some of the colors they use.
Yeah. So I think, again, when we think about toxicity of oil paints, a lot of that's been done away with, like lead. There are no more colors with lead in it. I think you can buy lead white still. Winsor & Newton and Utrecht makes a lead white. But they used to make lead, or used to have lead in a lot of the yellows, oranges. A lot of the colors had lead.
What happened to the good old days?
I know.
Lead in your paint and your house.
The tubes weighed twice as much back then.
You know, you had something in your hand. It was heavy. You pick up somebody's tubes days, they're so light, you don't even know if there's paint in there.
But the lead white was great to use. I mean, it flowed real nicely, and it stiffened up, dried a little quicker, and had a nice feel to it. But Lead does absorb into your skin, so I would not recommend using any of the lead. And again, nobody uses turpentine much at all anymore, unless you just use this. I can remember in art school at the American Academy, in the paint room, they had these giant vats, were about 3 feet high, just full of this toxic solvents. And we used to wash our hands in it and everything. And that was.
Are you surprised still alive, Phil?
Yeah, I am surprised.
He's the last survivor of the class. Pastels are definitely the ones you got to be careful, because they're airborne particles, and you do ingest that by default.
Yeah, pastels are the one thing that, you know, I would worry about pastels more than oils.
I've done pastels extensively, and
do you wear a mask?
I did not wear a mask, yeah. So, but I don't know. I mean, some of these, you look at who's Degas?
Yeah.
I don't know how old was Degas when died. I don't know.
He did go blind.
He did go blind. There's the blind. So, yes, I forgot about
that. That was probably the lead white that.
But I know some pastel artists that are still around, older, so yeah. I don't know. But it's something that, just to keep in mind.
That's why pastelists are kind of strange people.
I know.
Inhale all that dust. But the pastels, of course, are just pure pigment almost, very little binder in them. So the dust can float up in the air, and that's where the problems. Some people sand their oil paintings for technique or to paint on top of it. So be careful if you sand your painting, because, again, you're putting that pigment dust in the air where you can breathe it.
Yeah.
But, wearing a mask, I guess, which with pastels, if you're worried about that, would certainly take care of the problem.
Yeah, so Gamblin actually has a pretty extensive, literature on this, too. So we'll try to give that in the show notes.
Yes.
Direct link to that, so you can read about it. It's just something we all should know about.
Right.
And the reason is because... and we're hoping that you paint a lot, because if you paint once a year, it's not gonna affect you for sure. But if you paint on a regular basis, that's something you should know about.
Yeah, and again, if you're having a problem with solvents, which I think is the big problem with oil painting, there are differences. Also, the idea, I think, that acrylics are safer than oil because you don't have the solvents. Mm-hmm. Acrylics are are plastic, so they're made from petroleum, which has some toxicity in it too. So I think as long as you're careful, I think oil paints are just as safe as anything else, even water soluble.
Yeah.
As long as you're careful not to eat your cadmiums and cobalts.
Yeah, so water solubles, they have made a huge progress with it, but as Phil said, even water solubles they shouldn't be. Those are actually oil. There's toxic stuff in there, actually almost more. So, again, that's something that you have to, as an individual, to do research on this. But we're trying to just shine a light as a sort of a big picture on this, things that you should be looking for. Again, especially if you're having issues, sometimes breathing or skin irritation. I see more and more people wearing gloves.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing, because if you do get real messy and it's all over your hand, I mean, it just long term, it's, cannot be good for you. I don't like the glove, just it gets sweaty.
Yeah.
And I don't wear it. But I try to keep my hands from, getting paint on there too. So.
Yeah. Big thing with your hands is not to clean them with paint thinner, which I used to do all the time because it took the paint off so fast. But again, if you can get rid of the solvents and use walnut oil to clean your brushes and or safflower oil, and it works really well. You can buy that, of course, food quality, but it turns rancid after a period of time, where the art-related oils do not. Go rancid on you. So, you can't eat them because they're not food quality, but they do hold up a lot longer.
A lot longer, yeah. I mean, there's a whole, obviously, another podcast, and we've done a show on you know, this discussion can thread off into, of course, other things. The big topic was about you understanding the health concerns with oil paints, but as you hear, you're not going to be dying from them anytime soon just because you paint with oils.
Right.
So don't be scared of that. It's a beautiful medium. It's a very versatile medium. And again, they haven't really. It's funny because we live in such a technological age right now, but oil paints are basic as you can get it. We're still using, you know, going back in history, at least 500-600 years old methods with oil paints. So I don't see that changing. We are using the digital medium right now, but as a physical medium where you feel depth, literally physical depth, there's nothing like oil paint.
Right.
You know, for that, and there's an appreciation from the eye of the maker of it and the collector too. They see it, which doesn't happen with the zeros and ones, as I like to call the digital medium.
Yeah.
It does tend to, even though we do see beautiful work being done with it. I've seen it. There's nothing like a truly sort of human made. Element. I mean, it's somebody digs it up, you know, harvest linseed oil. I mean, if you think about the whole process, and then they put it in a tube for us nowadays, and then but you have to make something from it, right?
Right.
You have to continue that process to make. Otherwise, we would have museums just with paint cans and paint tubes. That would be the museum. It wouldn't be anything, right? We do need the scientists. So if you think about it in that sense, we do need the science.
That's
but
right.
Science without, you know, that next step, which, you know, hopefully becomes art, is sort of a very cold thing. So that's where you need the human rest of the human touch.
Yeah, and the oils, you know, give you the most versatility of any paint medium, I think.
Yeah.
Certainly more than a lot of the substitutes that are out there now for oils.
Yeah.
And they have, again, a good solution for all the problems of toxicity. So think about, you know, if you're having a problem with oils because of solvents or scared of some of the colors, you have this, you know, there's some solutions out there.
Yeah, and we'll put up the show notes
for
this, some links and things, and just reach us out in the Easel Insight group, because these type of discussions are, you know, happening inside the group. If you're not a member, make sure to you know, become a member of EI. We call it EI Easel Insight.
Right. It's a great place to discuss stuff.
Yeah.
On the Facebook group, private Facebook group that's on there. And then all the audio, or not audio, but video materials we have on the site.
Yeah, it's great. So. Great stuff. So thanks for joining us, and we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Easel Talk, the podcast that takes your art to the next level. Subscribe to and review our podcasts on iTunes and Stitcher. Check out our website, easelinsight.com, for more episodes and information. See you next time on Easel Talk.